Well, grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus the Christ. How many of you are a fan of the movie series Star Wars? Right? Most of you, right? You have to be. Have you ever not seen a Star movie ever? Right? Most of you know, right? So if you've ever seen, there's a movie, the third movie, titled The Revenge of the Sith, right? This movie, if you have seen it, depicts a slaughter of Jedi children, right? Called younglings, right? And it is really sad and tragic. They are slaughtered by Anakin, someone who used to know goodness and fairness. He knew the difference between good and evil. And so the event that turned him towards hatred and violence and evil was the death of his wife, Padme, right? He would at night have dreams about her dying at childbirth, and that naturally scared him. And it seems that it was her awaited destiny. And he tried everything to prevent this, including relinquishing his Jedi status and embracing the dark side, which powers promised the survival for his wife. But despite of his own efforts, she died at childbirth, right? So, and he was so angry he was so in pain that he bowed himself down to the dark forces, right? And then after that, he was named Darth Vader, right? If I can pronounce that right. And so this led to the slaying of every single Jedi, including infants, right? It's a sad moment in this movie. It is confusing as to why this type of tragedies happen. And it did happen right from the start for Jesus' life. He and his parents had to flee because someone was already after his life. What could a two-year-old possibly do to undermine the power and control of someone like Herod the Great? Herod, as historians tell us, also struggled with fear and jealousy and paranoia. He was appointed governor of Galilee, chosen to be king of the Jews by the Roman Senate. And so he was called Herod the Great because he also helped rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. But he was also overcome by fear, and this led to jealousy and this paranoia, and eventually this led to a mental collapse. Historians said that Herod executed his own wife and his own brother-in-law because he thought that they were having an affair. Right, which it was never confirmed, but the thought of losing someone to someone else was too much for him to go through. So the fear and the thought that someone else was eligible to be king is and was for Herod what led to this slaughter of so many innocent children. So a lot of what Jesus experienced in his early days parallels this with the story of Moses. If we go back to Exodus, we find there a little bit of what Moses experienced. There are details in Jesus' early days that mirror similar circumstances as Moses, right? Both of their lives were in great danger. The ruler at that time of Moses was an Egyptian pharaoh. And he also ordered for all the Jewish boys to be slaughtered, right? The reason is because the Jewish population was becoming too many. And so all the children were slaughtered in the time of Moses, except for a few who managed to flee and escape, right? One of them was Moses, whose mother put him in a basket and into the Nile River. And then an Egyptian worker found this baby, and then an Egyptian princess found favor on this baby. And so in a way, he found refuge in Egypt. Later on, Moses was used by God to liberate the people of Israel. It seemed like God spared his life so that he could accomplish a mission. right? We don't know, but whether God had anything to do with saving his life, but we know that God used his life to accomplish God's purposes of salvation for the people of Israel. In our gospel story for our first Sunday of Christmas, God sent an angel to warn Joseph about this tragic event, right? And I wish God would have sent all the angels of the whole world to also warn the rest of these children who were slaughtered, right? There is a great mystery as to how God accomplishes things and who he chooses and why God let certain evil to be done. That remains a mystery that I do not have the answer, which is very confusing and upsetting, right? And to that, I don't have the answer. But that is the reality that is part of our world, right? That is the reality to which Jesus was born. And also, it is this reality that we also face, but that he also had to face as he entered into our world. Right from the beginning, he encountered the reality of evil, the results of jealousy and the abuse of power, the unjust events of innocent people, right? And all the powers of this world that defies the love of God. It is not really a great Christmas story, right? Most Christmas stories are about compassion and love and a change of heart, no hearts of stone, right? But I will say that there's often in Christmas movie often a tragedy that happens, right? There's a drama that happens even on Christmas movies, whether someone discovers something about a person or people ruining Christmas celebration by competing with each other. I've been watching Christmas movies. See, that's how I know. There's always a tragedy, even in Christmas movie. But at the end, though, there is an ending that has to do with reconciliation, with all being together at a table, feasting together. Forgiveness is embodied, right? Right at the end. We know that this Christ child, Jesus, had a destiny to fulfill. And he himself announced this later to his disciples. His destiny would be to lay down his life for humanity, for us, to face the same forces of evil that we face and which would eventually kill him on the cross. But what he will also accomplish and has accomplished is eternal life for all of us. Because of that, we have eternal life in Christ Jesus. He came and overcame evil and death, and because of his resurrection, we have life with God. The end of this Christmas story does have a good ending, and we know it, right? It also ends up with a feasting with God and with all the saints of all times at the table of Christ. And that is what communion communicates. It's a feast that we look forward to at the end of our days. What we perhaps make of today's gospel reading in light of our Christmas season, one is the deep love of Jesus for humanity, who was willing to enter into our world to face the evil realities of our lives and to help us face those realities with the presence of God, as well as to expose these realities which oppose the ways of God, right? The kingdom of God, to which this Christ child also embodies throughout his life. Jealousy, individualism, use of power, violence are contrary to the kingdom of God. So today, as we continue to celebrate the birth of Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, Emmanuel, let us pray that this Christ child will rest upon us, bringing us healing, peace, and love to our lives, preventing us from giving up to these forces that have the potential to destroy us and all of human life. May we receive this child anew as we also enter into a new year, as we also face new realities or continue to face the calamities of our current world, may we feel the presence of God, Emmanuel, God with us. Christmas blessings to you all. Amen.